CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The North American Wrestling Connection, the worldwide leader in talk entertainment for over 5 years running.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by... On Monday, July 23rd, USA Network will bring you 3 hours of drama.
Who you calling the cheapskate?
Romance.
Everybody needs to bring a date.
Comedy.
I have to bake a cake?
What kind of cake?
Ooh, cake.
Fitness tips?
Who says I need to lose weight?
They say we're supposed to hydrate.
And reality?
I don't want to go to Kuwait.
Hey, boss, got your message. Kyle's here to check your prostates.
Raw Super Show goes to 3 hours, starting Monday, July 23rd at 8 on USA. Characters welcome.
Do any of you know where the arena is?
All right, I'm leaving. That's it. That's the last straw. I've had it. Nikki's a good friend. I was going to host this show, and I was promised there would be no ponies involved in the making of this show. I mean, what next? You're going to hear somebody be excited about the ponies in the open and the signature? And Twilight Sparkle in Kuwait?
Yay!
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, composure. Good evening. Or good day, whatever time of the day you're listening to us on. You're at CLW83.com. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, apparently presented by My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. I'm your host, Derpy. I'm Jim Williams, filling in for Nikki Heyman. So glad to have you here. But I'm not alone. Definitely not alone. I'm joined by two individuals who know a little something about a little some. Let's start in Lafayette, Tennessee, or La Follette, or something along those lines, and Brian Henniger.
Hello there.
Hi.
How you doing this evening?
I'm just fine. Darn punks.
And Jim, before anyone says anything, I want you to know I'm with you. Derpy is best pony.
No, I mean, you're right, but wait a minute. We'll get to DJ in a second, who's on the, we'll explain where DJ is. Next, joining us from just north of you in Kentucky, Tyler, Mickey D's can shove it up your ugly ass, Brown.
Yes. I was thinking about recording a promo similar to that, but God knows with my luck I'd end up getting a lawsuit in the mail. But in all seriousness, looking forward to the weekend because I'm not only working... But we get to taste our new menu on Sunday night at work.
Nom, winning.
Yes, sir. Free food, yes, free pay, sir. Winning.
Winning, indeed. And joining us on the CLW83 Mobile Force Hotline, he is fresh out of a Pittsburgh Pirates game. Oh, gee, you know, hold on a second. Why are the Pirates doing better than the Phillies? I'm sorry. DJ Peckins joins us. Hey, DJ. DJ, are you with us? Going once.
DJ, are you there? Talk to me, boy.
Hey, Jim.
I hear you. Tell him I can hear him. Go ahead. Can you talk?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay. I was going to say, you stole my cheap heat. I was going to say that I'm in the town with the most MLB wins in the state of Pennsylvania.
That was DJ Peckins joining us on the mobile phone. We don't know what happened to his connection. No, I'm kidding. You had to go there. You had to go there. Welcome to Jim Williams versus the world tonight. And the man who is the world playing the role of the world is our able-bodied producer who apparently on Skype has changed his avatar to the Iron Sheik giving me the middle finger, Carl Chenier. Hey, Carl.
Pony.
No, you...
I have issues.
I'm a broadcast journalist.
I have issues.
Well, yeah, you have to be a part of the CLW 83 network. Look at me. Speaking of issues, though. No. Only kidding.
Evening, Jim.
Good evening, Carl. Thanks for doing this as always, as you do so well.
Yes, sir.
We must explain where the lovely Nikki Heyman is tonight. By the way, the lovely Nikki Heyman, I get $5 every time I say that. No, I'm kidding. Nikki, she actually made a little trek up to Stamford, Connecticut. It involves, you've heard about what's been going on with dear old Uncle Paul. Well, she was going to tap a little talking to with Vince about the matter, because, you know, she's a master manipulator in her own mind. She actually was supposed to come back here for the show this week. She even told me, I talked with her on a chat, that she was going to come back in time for the show. But then she was in the boss's office with Mr. Heyman, among others, dear old Uncle Paul and Brock Lesnar. And they all were watching Super SmackDown Live, and, we have exclusive audio of how things kind of went awry.
Have you ever thought about pursuing a real man? You know, a man with power and influence. Maybe a former war correspondent.
Huh?
Now turned voice of the WWE.
Huh?
A man with fame and fortune.
You're gonna get sick?
I mean, think about it, AJ. Think about it.
Huh? Oh my God.
You could have all of this.
He's gonna, he's gonna, he's coming up here.
All of it.
He's gonna puke.
You could have all of this.
He's gonna puke.
I mean, look at me.
Gonna puke.
A
brain bleach.
So, we wish the Nikki the very best as her stomach is going through future endeavors. Yeah.
I want to make sure everyone knows, don't worry about her getting in trouble. I've called my personal legal counsel, Bubba Barclay, from Mosier City, Louisiana, to go work on the case.
Very nice.
Everything should be fine. There we go.
See, this is what happens also when Nikki has to watch SmackDown without the ability to mute Michael Cole. She vomits. It's not a pretty sight. We do have, seriously, a lot of news to get to on the show this week, and we're going to do something that in the history of this show has not been done too often. We're going to start talking Impact, but not completely Impact, ROH as well. Anybody watch Impact on Thursday night? Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody over there?
I'm
raising my foot.
Why are you raising your foot? Because he can't.
Footy.
Footy. The hell? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a weird mood tonight.
I can tell. This could be one for the Marconi archives. Brian, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I watched a little bit of it. I watched the incident that we are about to refer to.
And the incident involves a certain Ring of Honor wrestler showing up on Impact. Well, during Thursday's live Impact, seemingly quote-unquote out of nowhere, we see ROH personality wrestler Kenny King show up. He participates against Lars Only in a World X Division title qualifier match. He would go on to win that match. Afterwards, he was interviewed by Christy, I Get Paid Six Figures to Do Nothing Hemi, where he tells her he showed up to be noticed and the best is yet to come from him, going so far to say that a Destination XA King is going to be crowned. Ahaha. So ROH immediately had to do a little damage control, and they let out this statement. I'll read bits of it here. Follow along, if you will, at WrestleChat.net. Smirk. The appearance of ROH wrestler Kenny King on another television wrestling program tonight, referring to Thursday night, has raised speculation on his future as well as how this appearance could occur. The contract Kenny King signed in June 2011 expired 11 days ago, so, roughly 2 weeks ago. Before that expiration, an agreement was reached between Mr. King and ROH management for an extension of that contract There was a provision put in place to allow him to negotiate with other promotions, any other promotion, matter of fact, so that he could evaluate his options and any potential interest. When Kenny was presented with this extension, it was essentially a verbal and handshake agreement. He was informed, he informed ROH he was unsure if other promotions would accept the negotiation clause. So, we fast forward to Tuesday, July 3rd. He contacted ROH to inform them that he went down to Orlando that day, Thursday, within the scope of the agreement he had made. And then early Thursday morning, he talked to another ROH official to say he would be wrestling on Impact that night. He was told he did not have permission to appear on the live Impact program as a violation of his agreement. His response? Well, he had shaken hands and agreed to, in principle, what was in place seemed fair at the time, for lack of better terms. So, let's see. Ring of Honor is disappointed that Kenny made that decision after the company had agreed to and followed through on everything he had asked for at the time of the negotiation. And don't mind me, there was something funny in the chat. Seriously. Borderline ROH will not be doing any business with Kenny King going forward. And what do we get out of this? He gone! And it looks like he's staying in TNA for just a little witty while. So.
Although, Jim, if this was Ring of Honor, you had to read it in a high-pitched Southern accent with you saying the F word every 5 seconds. But that's okay.
Fuck this company! I can only do so much. So let's take a look at this. I'm going to go, DJ, you with us still? And that happened. No, DJ, are you with us?
Michael Cole scared him off.
Understandable. Well, we'll go to Brian on this first, then. Right now, of course, he's one of the tag team champions. He actually held a share of the tag team titles in ROH with Rhett Titus. They were the All Night Express. So what becomes of the All Night Express, do you think, in ROH?
They become a singles group, and the belts get... And then the belts will get vacated. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry, you know. They had an agreement, and he violated it. Yes, they didn't have anything written down. But you and I know that Jim Cornette won't let them back in forever.
Forever, yes.
Because, you know, look, I love Jim Cornette, but the guy holds grudges longer than most major governments.
Is DJ back with us?
Yes, I think okay. So.
What do you think is going to happen to the tag team titles in ROH now with Kenny King pretty much saying, shove it up your ugly backside, Mr. Cornette?
Well, I don't really know where they go with it. This is the second time within the last year, I do believe, that an ROH tag team champion has appeared for another promotion. If you remember, I do believe that Shelton Benjamin worked a dark match for the WWE. Now, I don't know at the time if he was a current ROH tag champion. Of course, this does more long-term damage to ROH because it actually, this individual, Kenny King, actually appeared on camera for TNA. And whether or not it is ROH's fault, it makes them look Bush League. You don't have one of your champions appear on camera for a rival promotion. And it actually, what I said, whether or not it is their fault, well, it was their fault the way they negotiated the contract. You don't even let it get that far. You don't put in there that they're allowed to negotiate with other organizations because he's not going to negotiate with anybody other than a TNA or a WWE. I mean, if he's going to PWG or some other promotion like that, then that's probably not even something that you have to have in the contract. So they were stupid in allowing it to get that far by even including that in the contract, in my opinion.
Tyler, what do you make of this whole mess?
Well, I mean, it comes down to the simple, you know, following what's in your contract. It's like what's going on now with Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner had re-signed a contract in which it said that he is not supposed to defame the company or, you know, talk bad about the company. Sure enough, he did, and there we go. He's getting sued. Well, it's the same thing in this case. You know, he's pretty much, when you sign a contract, even though you're an indie wrestler, when you're with a company, you know, it's fairly big amongst all the indies with ROHs. You know, and it says you are not to go to any other company unless you, you know, talk with the company and they know, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you sign a developmental and you're moving on and they're moving up and they're applauding you, great, you're moving on. But if you're just like, oh, you know, Like, from what I understood, it was like, oh, well, they just want me to go there. They don't want me to appear on TV. And then all of a sudden he's on TV and they're like, what the fuck? It's like, you know, you're breaking your contract. And if you sign a contract that says, I'm not going on to another rival promotion, and sure enough, you show up on television on another rival promotion, you screwed yourself, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Brian, what do you, and DJ touched on this, I want your opinion as well, Brian. What do you think this does in terms of repercussions for ROH as a promotion? Does this hurt them tremendously to have this fall by the wayside?
Well, you know, and if there are any Ring of Honor fans listening into our program, I do apologize if this comes off as offensive. I don't mean for it to. But Ring of Honor is so small and its fan base is so elitist, they're not going to bat an eyelash at this. Okay. They're going to look at this as if to say, you know what, it's Ring of Honor's loss. Hope he breaks both of his legs in TNA and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The problem is it does create the image for the casual fan of, well, they want to be big time and they can't even keep their wrestlers under a written contract. And this is going to hurt them in the eyes of the casual fan. Of their current fan base, I don't think it's going to hurt them at all.
Does it, and let me go further with this with DJ, does this potentially hurt their ever-growing attempts to expand and become the legitimate number three promotion on a nationwide level?
I think so, because it's not just an isolated incident. It's more of a trend. Right. And you've seen a lot of ROH's top guys being swallowed up in the past by WWE. And that's one thing, to go to the top dog, you know, to go to what's widely regarded as the best or most relevant, most most popular wrestling organization in the world. It's another thing to go to TNA, which isn't that much of a step up from Ring of Honor. And when I say it's not an isolated incident, it's more of a trend, I'm looking at the guy who was the face of your company for over a year, who was your world champion, twice, that he would rather retire and become a firefighter than stay with your organization. You know, that stuff like that makes it Bush League, and it's going to make it hard for it to survive. Ring of Honor ran a show last weekend in my area, and it drew 500 people. I mean, you can't survive when you're drawing 500. Local indie feds in the Pittsburgh area draw more than 500 people on a routine basis. This is a national organization that now has a television deal here in this town. So
that's right, Sinclair in Pittsburgh. That's right. I forgot about that. And they're trying to expand that to other markets. You know, it'd be great if they can get the Northeast, Philadelphia, and New York cornered, because especially Philadelphia is a hotbed for ROH in the indie scene. All right, so we talked the ROH angle. Let's flip sides. TNA has their pay-per-view coming up in just days, ladies and gentlemen, seemingly. And you've got Kenny King in part of the Ultimate X, you know, competition. What does this do for TNA, Tyler? Is this a nice little bump? Is this going to put, in the words of Tony Schiavone, more butts in the seats?
Well, if it's going on the scandalous factor, yes, because, ooh, you know, he was under contract to ROH, and then, you know, according to Russell Chat, he made it, like I said, he made it seem like, oh, well, I'm just going there, but it's not going to be televised, and all of a sudden, oops, he shows up on TV, and now it's like everywhere. And it's going to be a situation where, yes, it might put butts in the seats because there's people who are now curious about him. But some people might just be like, well, you know what? If he can't stick to a contract with one company, what makes me think that he's not going to bounce around from company to company until he gets what he wants, sort of thing.
Understandable. Brian, you want in?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, I think it'll bring some notoriety, but at the same time, you know, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
DJ?
It depends on how they use him. You know, it might provide a little bit of a bump, but beyond that, if they don't use him, if they job him out, it doesn't really good much more for the company. I think you have a guy that came over from ROH in Austin Aries, and look at him. He's in the main event, you know, in a short amount of time in his second go-around with TNA. So this is Kenny King's second go-around with TNA. Let's see how they use him. But as of right now, I think it's more of a detriment to ROH than it is going to be a positive for TNA. But then again, like I said, depends on how they use him.
if they use him, and I'm just hypothesizing here, I don't watch enough TNA to truly hypothesize, but guess what? I'm going to anyway. If they give him a microphone and they try to recreate from a year ago the CM Punk pipe bomb kind of image with King, here's a guy who left one organization to join another, giving him the opportunity to say whatever the heck he wants. And TNA has been known to do that for individuals. Do you think that pays dividends, DJ, for both King and for TNA if they go that route?
I don't know. I don't know if it would, because it would be like kicking the organization when it's down.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
all right. You're breaking up a little bit, DJ. You're breaking up on us. We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you. Brian, same question.
I'm sorry. You're going to hate me. Could you just kind of restate the question? I was a little confused by it.
Yeah, sure. No problem. This is the problem with the CLW83 mobile force. When we get a little scrambling, it's a little bit of a delay going there. So we'll handle that. Okay, Brian, the question is pretty simply, if they give Kenny King a microphone, a pipe bomb-esque situation or character trait, not unlike Punk from a year ago, and he's allowed to say anything he wants, pretty much to have at ROH even, does that potentially yield big dividends for both Impact Wrestling and for King in the future?
I don't think so, because you can't recreate a magic moment like that. You can't recreate a moment in time that was unique like the pipe bomb.
Right.
TNA, for all the good things you can say about them, and there are some legitimately good things you can say about them, their biggest problem is as soon as something happens, they will immediately try to recreate it. And that doesn't work in wrestling. It just doesn't work. So if they try to recreate the pipe bomb, it's going to blow up in their face, if you'll excuse the pun.
Right. Well played. Well played, sir. We'll try to get DJ back in here in just a little bit. He ended up having some phone problems. The CLW83 mobile force. We can't afford our own phones. It's okay. All right, so it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this all, and we'll follow it here on the NAWC in the coming weeks and months, perhaps. Let's stay with TNA, because a couple of individuals have left. One of them being kind of noteworthy, the other being one of the bigger faces left in, TNA's knockout division. We'll go with the lesser of two first. Shannon Moore released by TNA this week. He stated he'd be leaving TNA to spend more time with family and work on outside endeavors. So we wish him the very best in his future endeavors. Even though this isn't a John Laurinaitis case study, I still need to use the voice. I've got nothing left. But the bigger story, the bigger release this week, was that of one Angelina Love. She broke the news on Twitter earlier this week, Monday, Tuesday, roundabout, and cited the grounds of parting ways was completely amicable. And she has had problems, you know, negotiating contracts in the past with Impact Wrestling, so maybe the straw broke the camel's back, per se. Now, seemingly immediately after hearing of the news that Angelina Love would be leaving TNA, the rumor mill, as it often does, started churning and saying that she might be joining the E in the not-too-distant future. Tyler, can you see Angelina Love in a WWE ring anytime soon?
You know, I can't say one way or the other, and here's why. Unlike TNA, WWE doesn't like sitting there going, oh, look, they're from our quote-unquote competition. WWE isn't like TNA where they go, oh, look, that WWE superstar just left and his no-compete clause just ended. Let's grab him up and pay him ridiculous amounts of money. It's more or less a situation of they're going to go ahead and go through the process and see if they want her. And the problem is they're not doing a whole lot with a lot of the people in the Divas division at WWE. So is she going to be one of those situations where they hire her in for say, 50,000, 100,000 a year, and then they go, sorry, we ain't got nothing for you. So we'll just put you on your butt and, you know, pay out the rest of your contract, or you'll job once a month to another diva on Superstars or, you know, some show similar like that. Right. So honestly, you know, with as many big contracts as they have, and even with them possibly getting rid of Orton, there's not going to be enough money to just throw out at somebody just because they're leaving another organization. You know, she might do maybe like a lot of the indie people or TNA people do, where they go, okay, well, my no complete clause is over. Email me at this address. You can book me for a party. You can book me for a wrestling event, whatever. But I don't see her going into the E anytime soon, especially with a soon returning Karma, unless they need another jobber.
Well, there you go. A matter of fact, she did, I believe, pick up her first independent booking sometime later in the month of July. I'll see if I can find that in a second. But, Brian, what do you think? Do you think we might see her in the E in the next few months?
I do, in fact, think we'll be seeing her in the E. The WWE is, I think, waiting for Karma to make her return so they can start rebuilding the Divas division again. I think that, you know, me and Nikki have an agreement is that the WWE has the Divas division in more or less a holding pattern, and they're just waiting for the right time, and they're going to need someone like Angelina Love, because, you know, there's no flies on her. They know that she is going to be a great wrestler for their division, and they'll snap her up. It's going to happen.
Uh-oh. He said the W word, wrestling. Uh-oh. No, I'm kidding. But, I found it here. Angelina Love's first independent appearance will be for the NEO Wrestling's Midsummer's Nightmare on July 28th at the Fight Club Canada, 4536 Portage Road, Unit 2 in Niagara Falls. Slowly I turn, step by step, Ontario. And nobody got it. Very good.
I got it. That's awesome, man. I used to love that routine.
Yeah. Here's how sad it is. I first got that routine, first realized that routine and heard about it when I was producing a big band show. So there you go. But no. So if you're in the... So Trista, if you want to see Angelina, there you go. Yay! Oh, I'm sorry. I have... Why do I say yay when I can have...
Yay!
Her say it instead. Yeah, okay, I'm taking a liking to the board. What can I say? But let me follow through a little bit, Brian, because you think we're going to see Angelina Love in WWE. Is it a given that she comes in as a heel? Because you mentioned, and Tyler mentioned too, Karma just about ready. She might be here by Raw 1000, if not SummerSlam, or shortly before that, somewhere in between that time period. There's a lack of heels. You've got Beth Phoenix, and that's really about it. On the WWE Diva side, that's in the bad girl territory. Do you see Angelina Love coming in as a heel?
I don't. Now that I don't know. I think that there would have to be a great deal of speculation on both parts. WWE has this amazing concept of where they want to completely change a person's persona when they come in. I'm sorry, I'm a little discombobulated right now. I apologize for that. But
looking at those pictures of Angelina Love with Carl will do that. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl. no, but in all seriousness, I do believe that they might not. I honestly don't know for sure, and we wouldn't know until the day that they debut.
Okay. Fair enough. And let's get it out of the way, Carl. When you saw Angelina Love, what's the first thing you wanted to say to her that you couldn't say?
Ian, damn Stimmage!
Thank you very much. Yes. That's Carl Shadir. He's Fit Finley. And neither am I.
I love to fight.
What about Finley, the guy who loves to fight? Shut up! Exactly. Speaking of divas and knockouts and those types of things, it is time for the AJ Chronicles, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as you know on this show, and I don't have the sound, but Nikki often mentions this enough times. With the NAWC, we don't recap the shows. Watch it your damn self. But this, we're going to make a little exception to, because here are the AJ Chronicles, 48 hours or more like 24 hours in the life of what I think is the best character in the WWE right now. She is absolutely the master manipulator in advance, as we're under 2 weeks, coming up on 1 week away from the big match between Punk and Bryan for the WWE Championship. The match, of course, that will probably play second and or third fiddle to John Cena and Money in the Bank. Boo-hoo-hoo. So AJ's backstage. Daniel Bryan's got a rose for her, thinking, you know, get on her good side and say,
oh, yeah!
I mean, I understand that, sure. Well, AJ pretty much says no to that. She takes the rose, turns that sun bee sideways, and, well, bites off the petals and throws the stem away. So this turns into a...
Yes! 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 Yes!
I could hear that all day long. So there's that aspect. So then AJ's in a match, a mixed tag match with Sheamus. She wins that match. She goes back. Oh, so again, once again, she's
yes, AJ,
and she, well, you know, goes backstage because she wants to see if Punk watched the match. Punk didn't watch the match, and well, that's, you know, downhill from there. Fast forward to the main event of Raw, where you see Punk and Cena against Daniel Bryan, and it doesn't matter because it all comes down to Punk and Bryan, really. And AJ gets into the match, gets into the ring. Well, not really. She goes under the ring because she's hardcore, y'all. Gets a table, places it near the turnbuckle, then climbs the turnbuckle. Punk and Bryan both are like, no, what the heck are you doing? And then Punk gets lip-locked by AJ before getting pushed off onto Bryan through a table. Once again, AJ...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Ah, yes, the lips of an angel. Fast forward to Super SmackDown Live, the Great American Bash in Texas. And we've got the whole interview, the thing that made AJ, that made our higher-up, Miss Heyman, gag. Bryan comes out, Punk comes out. They, you know, have a little talk about it. And then before much further, a little lip lock for Daniel Bryan, to which he would say... Where's the sound?
Yes! 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 Yes!
And then Punk goes away, all well and good, but Punk gets stopped. And, well, he gets kissed, to which I would say, even though he probably wouldn't want Lita to know this...
Yes! 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 Yes!
And at the very same time, Daniel Bryan is saying...
No!
Same time as saying,
yes, 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 yes.
And of course, to finish everything off, as she goes away, somebody in the background is probably in the back of a Rolls Royce yelling,
See!
So that's the summarization of AJ, Master Manipulator. Join us next week at this. See, that's why.
Join us next week when we hear the crusty old ring announcer say, hey, big man, let me hold a dollar.
Holla at your boy. Okay, so let's get back to the basis here. Sorry, I like having fun with sounds. It's fun. Let me go to Tyler on this. And I said it pound for pound, and, well, she's not that big, so not much to say, but still. AJ is probably the best character in WWE right now. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I'm not going to play it. Go ahead, elaborate.
Anyway, well, what I was going to say is that, yeah, I mean, out of everybody, as far as women or otherwise, she's almost become a mainstream character because it's gone from, oh, she's this little bubbly thing that, you know, was it Diva Search or NXT that she...
NXT.
No, I think it was NXT, yeah. Yeah. And it's like she's come out of nowhere, out of the background. It's like, oh, okay. So now they've got her playing this psychotic character. And at first I was like, oh, great. Another one of those characters, you know, it's always, you know, one of those, you know, branded characters where it's like the really happy one, the really, you know, shy one, the really slutty one, you know, so on and so forth. And she gets the, you know, the insane kind of character, but then, of course, she gets CM Punk going, oh, I love crazy chicks, and every other guy going, I wish this crazy chick would pose in Playboy, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, no, she's done really well, and as long as she can keep it going, she really has a bright future in that company. And yeah, she's really awesome, and she can give those psychotic looks, and it's like, I don't know, if nothing else, that's got to be what's drawing guys to the television, not CM Punk or Daniel Bryan. While they're both great wrestlers, AJ has got, she's well rounded per se, and the fact that she's beautiful, and she her character draws people in. And you can't tell me there's a lot of guys glued to that television going, you know, that bitch is crazy, but woo, mercy, that she seems like she'd be fun after hours.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what it comes down to, I think, Tyler, to your point, yeah, she has that relatable quality. We all know somebody who's been like AJ in our lives and our love lives in the past. Brian, best character in the E right now, I think. Do you agree?
She is in my Fave Five, dog.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody call the police.
Shucky ducky.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Yeah, she is she has been transformed from a nerd that I like the nerd to something totally unique. I mean, yeah, it's a crazy you-know-what, but she plays it with such brio that I love it. I mean, she is doing such an amazing job with this character of, you know, I'm waiting for next week for her to come out with a rabbit in the pot. I mean, that's what I'm waiting for.
I would love to see it. I'd like to be the rabbit in the pot at this point. But let me beg another question.
Jim Williams, you are a very sick man.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, and the ladies know it. Who am I kidding? I'm a lonely
You're
bastard.
Sexy, and you know it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fist pump. Wait, I'm from Jersey. I shouldn't do that.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Yeah. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll be sliced up for a promo. I guarantee it. Serious question about the AJ Punk Brian Unholy Trinity. Does she add to or does she take away from Punk and Brian's match coming up? I mean, yeah, she's going to be the special referee, but considering we've seen these two go at it in the ring, just letting it all out there, and then last pay-per-view, AJ was a factor in the decision. Now, she's definitely going to be a factor in the decision. Does it take away from seeing a Punk-Brian match, or does it add to it, do you think, Brian?
It adds to it. This has, I mean, look, I'm as much of a sucker for technical wrestling as anybody else. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to wrestling, this is just me. I love the spectacle. I'm all about the drama and the storytelling. That's what draws me in. And maybe I'm a neophyte. You know what? If I am, screw you. But really, I mean, this adds a layer to the story. And I think it's going to make something great. Because you've already got two of the best wrestlers in WWE right now. Mm-hmm. And this adds an element to where it's not just two great indie guys having an indie match. Now, it makes this, yeah, it's soap opera-esque. Because you know what? Wrestling's always been a soap opera. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Do you concur, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, a lot of people who are very traditionalist to how CM Punk and Brian have been. You know, it's these two indie guys, they're great, they're awesome. Now they're on a higher plateau. Both have now held titles, the big ones. So, I mean, if nothing else, that's really great for their career. But I honestly don't feel like, if it were somebody else, Vicky Guerrero, you know, someone who's not, I hate to say this, as young and perky and beautiful and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. would just be like, what the hell is she doing involved in this match? But they've got one of the younger divas who's still got a very bright future ahead of her. And I think that there might be minor distractions on both sides in the match, but I still think that's not going to take away from the awesomeness that will be the match between Brian and CM Punk. She's one of the divas, you know, they've done this right. It's not to a point where she's completely throwing it off and they're not wrestling and they're that distracted by her. They're just distracted enough to be thrown off, but it's to where both of them are thrown off, to where it's not like, it favors one person or the other in the match.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm on the fence on the matter. I was pretty much back and forth because I want to see these two go at it for 30 or 45 minutes. That's just that's probably not just me. It's probably a lot of people. But I do love the AJ character. I think it's awesome. And let's put it out there. I think she's the face of the company on the Diva side right now. I think she absolutely is. And I feel bad for the likes of Natalya and Beth Phoenix, who can wrestle and kick butt and, you know, the whole nine yards. But AJ has been given a vehicle, and she's driving it at 190 miles an hour right down the straightaway and setting world records every which way. I love it. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Moving on now to something that is either great or maybe I'm making too much of this. It's time to play Is This Anything? Well, if you blinked on Raw Monday night, you missed Tensai getting squashed in world record time, seemingly, by Tyson Kidd. And they're saying, there are some dirt sheets saying that Kidd's about ready to get a push on Raw or SmackDown. After which...
Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly. Woohoo, you rock. To which the artist formerly known as Lord Tensai took out his frustrations on Sakamoto. Hi! So...
Ninja Gaiden! Hi!
Indeed. Hayuken, Hayuken, Hayuken. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger uppercut. The question becomes, and I'll pose it to Brian first, are we on the verge of seeing Tensai being, I don't know, written off TV or repackaged? Or is there a bigger payoff at the end that I'm just not missing? I'm just having to be missing at this point.
I am inclined to believe that this is leading up to something, because if you noticed, every time he's lost, it's been of his own volition. It's something he did wrong. But he's taking his anger out on Sakamoto. So what I think they're doing, I think there's more to it than what we're seeing. I think the story is that eventually he's going to drop the vestiges of being a fake Asian and just become A-Train and destroy people, or become Giant Bernard if you're a otaku. I think there's. I don't think that he's getting written off. I think they are going to repackage the character, and this is how they're doing it, by having him get rid of all of this, because fans have not bought the Tensai character. As cool as the Tensai character was, the fans have not bought in. They need to do this to get us reinterested in the character.
Yeah, because everybody and their sister, when they see him, you're Prince Albert! Clap, 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 clap. So,
shave your back! Shane, you're back.
And he did, sort of, but oh well. Tyler, what do you think about the Tensai situation?
It's definitely, you know, one of those situations where, you know, it was a great idea. I'm sure they're all sitting around the board meeting one day. Okay, we're bringing him back. Okay, we're repackaging him as, you know, a former champion who's now come back. But like everyone has said, it was, you know, as soon as we saw him, we saw the early pictures, it was nothing more than A-Train with Chinese writing on his face, essentially. And
exactly.
But it's just, people don't believe it. We all know it's a load of baloney. And it was almost funny because when his character first came out, he tried to play it off on Twitter. Oh, I don't know who that is. Yeah, I'm sure he looks familiar. And after a while, he's dropped the BS and he's like, oh, yeah, had fun on Raw. Or, you know, like a lot of the other wrestlers do. Oh, yeah, had great time on Raw. You know, got my butt kicked on Raw, you know, whatever. Towards now, he's not playing up the whole, I don't know who Lord Tensai is and this A-Train guy is. We're not the same person, when everybody knows it is. Even people who have maybe just come into watching, maybe in 2000s or even 2000, as late as 2005. It's not going to be one of those things where it was a great idea at first, as the WWE has had. And now they're realizing, maybe it wasn't such a great idea because people knew who he was. You know, that would be like when they did Jimmy Wang Yang, and at first he was, you know, in these various different groups, and then he came up to the All-American Cowboy, Jimmy Wang Yang. I mean, really, come on, we know who he is. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, the audience is knowing it's not working. I think the WWE writers are now realizing it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to, like, you know, like it's been said, it's going to be repackaged and maybe just turn him back into A-Train, turn him back into Albert, turn him back into something that we already know he is, a freaking wrecking machine. And then maybe, you know, have Mark Henry's return thereafter, and we could have, you know, one of those epic battles of the giants coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tyler, you mentioned about Mark Henry. He's been losing weight. He's down to about 400 pounds, and he's looking to lose another 30, so he may be back on the roster sooner than later. We crossed the wires and uncrossed them again. I think we've got DJ back in the Pittsburgh area. DJ, can you hear me?
I think I can hear you, Jim.
Okay, good deal. We were talking about the whole situation involving a one Lord, or parentheses around Lord, Tensai, and how he got absolutely squashed by Tyson Kidd. And the question I posed to Brian and Tyler, and they both seem to be in agreement on the matter, are we on the verge of seeing Tensai repackaged, or is this part of something more? Could he be taking a little time off and getting a new gimmick? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with the other two panelists. There's not much left to Tensai's gimmick. They already stripped away the costume. They stripped away a lot of the gimmick that he had when he debuted. Now the only thing that's left is the quote-unquote tension between him and Sakamoto. But even if he rises up against Tensai and revolts and they start a feud, has anybody really been given reason to care about Sakamoto? I mean, there's not even really much there. So I think maybe after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, or maybe if they give him a little bit longer after SummerSlam, take him off the road, let this kind of seep out of the fans' memories, excuse me, the WWE Universe's memory, because we know that they have a short memory, and then bring him back as the A-Train, bring him back as Prince Albert, and kind of introduce him that way.
You know what I think would be kind of fun, and I'm reminded of this. Do you remember in 1999 when Dustin Rhodes went to WCW? And
yes.
When he, yeah, you know where I'm going, DJ. Go ahead.
Yes. The 7 gimmick, am I correct?
Yes. Would you like to see him maybe go that route and just come in one time, you know, introduced as Tensai, and then pretty much shoot it out on the mic saying that this was a BS kind of gimmick and he's going back to his ways?
I would like that, because personally the whole 7 gimmick where he was, I think the words that he used were he was Uncle Fester dressed up and trick-or-treating.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or something.
And we've got you in a dead zone there again, DJ. We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you. But that's what I'm reminded of. What could be a way out of the gimmick? Go the 7 route that Dustin Rhodes did in 99 and pretty much say how this was a ridiculous gimmick and so on and so forth. Brian, what do you think?
I would be open to that. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know how WWE is doing that show now, Are You Serious, where they're like poking fun at their at their bad gimmicks and everything else?
Coming soon, Tensai. Yeah, I see where you're going.
I mean, they're going to, I mean, but I think they're more willing now to poke fun at their past. That, yes, might be a legitimate way to get them out of the gimmick. Just have them stand up and say, my name is not Tensai, my name is Giant Bernard, and you're all about to die. Something like that.
Exactly. Works for me. So stay tuned on that. More coming later, for certain. Let's move forward and talk about, speaking of gimmicks, we had a couple of legends on Raw this past Monday night. 2 for the price of 1. If you want to be technical, 3 for the price of 1. As I'm a one-man band! Took on Doink the Clown. Well, not the real Doink the Clown. Doink the Clown as portrayed by the Brooklyn Brawler, Steve Lombardi.
Well, kind now, of, to be fair, at one time, Lombardi was one of the fake Doinks, so that kind of,
yeah,
makes,
okay,
sense.
Okay, fair enough, but I will always equate him as the Brooklyn Brawler, enough said. But very valid, and for once, Heath Slater got the Duke, but then, wait a minute, self high five. DDP comes in, and he gives him the bang! A little diamond cutter action there. That was fun to see. My only problem with it was we knew DDP would show up. They gave us a nice little swerve with Doink. But it was announced, I think, on his Twitter or online somewhere that he was going to be on Raw that night. It took a little something away from it, I think. Tyler, am I in the wrong for thinking that?
No, I just, you know, that's the way it is because every Monday it's always been the legend, per se, will always get the W. Mm-hmm. And we knew something wasn't right when Heath Slater?
Yes.
I think I got that right. The one-man rock band.
Call it Wendy if you want. That makes
Wendy. Works this as well. Got the W over Doink, and I was like, wait a minute, something's not right, because every other week, the legend has always gotten the W. And it's like, okay, well, maybe they just used Doink as a swerve, and sure enough, it's me, it's DDP. And of course, Heath Slater has the most confused look on his face. Feels the, you know, they sit there and chat for a minute. Oh, yeah, you're DDP. Da, 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 and boom, it's the diamond cutter. And no, that was not used as a replacement for not having Randy Orton on television. Suck it.
Well played. Brian, your thoughts on the whole DDP bang and stuff?
It looked really cool. Some people I know are getting upset that he's jobbing every week to the legends, but you know what, when you get right down to it, you know, every so often you're going to have moments like this, and it's good to see legends getting a payday. So you know what, good for them.
And you know what, deep down I think Slater loves this. I mean, this is like a kid in a candy store kind of situation. You're getting to work with all these legends. You're taking bumps from Vader, you're taking bumps from Psycho Sid, so on and so forth. DJ, are you back in?
Can you hear me, guys?
I can hear you now. What did you think of the whole DDP thing and Doink as well?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but it seems to me like if you weren't really paying attention to the all the advertisements for the 1,000th Raw, that they'd be building up to the 1,000th Nitro, because they're building this off the back, really, of WCW stars Vader, Psycho Sid, who probably had more... more decent runs in WCW as Sid Justice and Sid Vicious, and DDP, who made his bread and butter as the people's champion in WCW, so to speak. But I like it. It's cheap nostalgia pop. And a little bit of a fun fact here, Vader, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and DDP were three of the guys who I met during my trip to Wrestle Reunion in April. So maybe one of the WWE talent agents has been stalking me. If Jushin Thunder Liger shows up next week, I'll really start to get worried.
Well, let's just hope it's... I'd rather see him than, say, Das Wonder Kid. That's just me.
Das Wunderpunk.
Yes. Ooh, do the dance. Do, 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 do. Anyway. Yes. I'm convinced the Alex Wright Das Wonder Kid character was conceived by somebody who watched too much Sprockets on SNL. This is the part of Sprockets where we dance. Anyway, look it up, kids. 1990s SNL. So much better than what you kids have today. Haha. Acting! Anyway, let's have a little fun with this, guys. I'll start with DJ on this, as we're 2 weeks left with the Legends beating up Heath Slater or what have you. Who would you like to see in these next 2 weeks face the one-man hick rock band, whatever he calls himself, Wendy, I guess?
Well, I'm thinking of guys. We always see the legends, quote-unquote, come back. We saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Slaughter and guys of those ilk on SmackDown this week. You see those guys all the time. It really doesn't resonate much. I'd like to see guys from that Attitude Era. I'll throw two names in the hat. Well, three names, but two, one as a tag team. The New Age Outlaws, you already have B.G. James under contract as a producer / rotated. Bring him back to Billy Gunn. Have them maybe come out. I don't know if you could team up Slater with somebody. And another guy I'd like to see is Steve Blackman.
Oh, that'd be fun as hell. That would be fun as hell. I like the Blackman one especially. Tyler?
Actually, I've heard through the grapevine that one Attitude Era wrestler actually will be coming back. And it was because it was some sort of contract dispute. They didn't really like the guy. Mm-hmm. So they said that actually Viscera Big Daddy V will actually might be making an appearance for the number 1,000. So first off, that would be pretty cool. They say that he's lost a lot of weight, so he's not as heavy as he was at his last WWE appearance, which is good for him and for the catering bill. Sorry, that was horrible. No, but, you know, Viscera, was a very prominent part of the Attitude Era, being part of the corporate ministry. Right. I want to see an Undertaker return because it's been almost forever since he's been around. He hasn't really shown up a lot. We'll probably, as it gets closer, we might see one or two of the big names, Rock, Austin, you know, some of the, we're looking for the big names, you know, as we get closer to the big 1000. So they're not, I mean, they might bring maybe Scotty Too Hotty in for a pop, possibly all of Too Cool for a pop, because we know Brian Christopher's made an appearance.
Yeah.
So I mean, it we they're just gonna have to go through the archives and go, okay, well, let's go back and
Who wants a paycheck? Right.
But one name I just thought about, if they could bring back Kai and Tai, and they're original, doing the whole Japanese gimmick, not as, you know, what they became of later on, but as the Kai and Tai Japanese gimmick, the, you know, their words being slightly off, that sort of thing.
So you don't want, Funaki number one SmackDown announcer. You don't want that.
You get the it's going back into the past. It's Raw 1000, and Funaki, the whole number one announcer thing was very cheesy. It was, but I mean, if Raw 1000 is supposed to be about, you know, remembering the Attitude Era, and they've had 1000 episodes, and a lot of what helped get them to the 1000 episodes was the bulk of the Attitude Era.
Sure, so I understand.
You know, I wouldn't say bring back Viscera in his Attitude Era gimmick because he was in those that black pajama thing, not so much, but you know,
world's largest love machine.
Yeah, world.
Oh, Lillian Garcia, you're on watch out.
I don't think she wants to have her leg humped at this point. Anyways.
Oh well, you drive me loca. There you go. Check out the single kids. It's hot.
And Brian, my name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
There you go. Brian, who would you like to see these next 2 weeks leading into Raw 1000?
Well, I would like to see, for starters, I would like to see the New Age Outlaws come out and just throw them in a dumpster, do the whole bit. That would be awesome. I actually would like, I think for the 1000th episode, the rumor is apparently Ric Flair will be appearing on the 1000th episode of Raw.
I think he's still under negotiations, though. I don't think the lawsuit's going to let him.
Okay, well, then that screws that idea.
We'll see.
Why not have the Honky Tonk Man come in and bust a couple of guitars?
And sing one of his world-famous hits, Honka 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 Honky Love. Yes,
or,
indeed.
Or, okay, we're going to sing it now. That's all right, Honky Tonk Mama.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
May I have your attention, please?
Yeah, I have no choice, do I?
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager. On my Sharp X1 Turbo Z3.
The hell? You're just making them up now. But you're just making them up. Wait a minute, there's a link. Oh my god, yes it is. Ooh, glorious 128 KB of RAM. Yes, indeed. Ooh, you can double it to 256. Wahahaha.
Divide by 2 in minutes.
Yes.
Add up to 3 columns in an hour.
And that's why I still have my abacus. Okay. There we go. Let me see what the anonymous Raw GM has to say. And I have a computer for that, actually. A more newer computer. Here we go. First of all, Jim, Derpy Hooves is best pony. What the heck? What is with the... That's why the ponies... And it's not Nikki. It's the anonymous general...
Hey, by the way, Jim, is that email signed an L. Faust by any chance?
Well, I'll check the bottom in a second here. Okay. It continues to say, speaking of superstars returning, it is confirmed Bret Hart will be a part of Raw 1000. Kind of a nice thing. Mm-hmm. But while you're talking about the past, talk about the more recent past, including an awesome commercial and a SmackDown that's about to be sick. Oh, you mean sick? I think that's what they mean. Your faithful student, Twilight Spark. What? Oh, my. In any event, we will stampede on out of here with into a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the awesome commercial for Raw 1000. We'll talk about some of the events on SmackDown and some numbers, some statistical numbers on how many eyeballs are watching WWE programming. Along with Brian Henniger, Tyler Brown, DJ Peckins when his phone works, and Carl Chenier, I'm Jim Williams in for Nikki Heyman on the North American Wrestling Connection, as presented by WrestleChat.net here on CLW83.com, the home of the CLW83 Network. Stay tuned in. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
If you're not tuned in to CLW83.com, you're missing out on all of this.
Oh, what a catch some guy made for the Angels just now off of this. Number 27, oh, I don't know.
That's Trout!
Yes, Mike Trout.
How dare you!
Can't sorry.
Cash Trout.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
The password is splooge.
My brain was broken after seeing the images of Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Do not want.
Nikki! Nikki!
Brain bleach!
I started this endeavor joining Carl with a podcast in the hope we could bring some enlightening radio to the masses. And then ponies happened.
No, and then you actually started doing it.
CLW83.com. Log on and tune in. Williamsware is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com, click the CLW83 Wear button, and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
This is Ethan Muslin, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
Nice to hear you. Nice! And welcome back to the NAWC, presented by WrestleChat.net. I'm Jim Williams, pinch-hitting for Nikki Heyman, probably for the last time if she's listening to this program, joined by Brian Henniger, and by Tyler Brown, and by DJ Peckins, and by Carl Chenier, producing us ably while he is Avatar, still giving us all the middle finger. Before we go before we go further, Carl, remember, don't say anything relating to an ethnic slur.
I have a whole bunch of friends that happened to... Oh, sorry.
Buck Futter. Let's go on.
Hey, buddy, my wife's a sea mammal.
There you go. Give Brian 100 funny money Chuck bucks. Let's go ahead and talk about Raw going to 3 hours in a couple of weeks. Not so much the event, but the promo leading up to the event. WWE this week let out a promo on their YouTube channel. It's about a 40-second promo that's going to be aired, I think, also on USA, promoting Raw going to 3 hours starting July 23rd. You heard snippets of it in a little parody in the open of our broadcast, complete with Pony. But it was one of the best-produced commercials I've ever seen WWE put out. So many inside references, too. I mean, the World Heavyweight Championship belt was just sitting in the background, kind of like how WWE feels about that belt, just a random thought. What were the other ones? Brian, you remember some of the other inside jokes there?
Maybe this is inside only to myself, but when Kane said, "I have to bake a cake." If you remember when they did the WWE cookbook, Kane had a red velvet cake recipe.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you know what? Yes. Yes. AJ filing behind Sheamus and Kofi, CM Punk, and Nikki and I joked about this before she ended up vomiting, as we recounted in the first half. CM Punk was making photocopies of his championship belt, and she maintains this, and I agree. You have to have photocopies of Punk's belt being sold at house shows and live events all throughout the summer. $5 a pop, put an autograph on them. They will sell like hotcakes because it's Punk. That's money, and the ice cream bars. That's money waiting to be made.
And where are my WWE ice cream bars?
I know. I mean, what's the deal? I know.
And what is the deal with a 3 count? Why not a 2 count or a 5 count?
Not a 10 count. Big Show's hang in there poster in his cubicle, and of course the evil doctor with his doctor's bed. Evil Doctor Levesque, as a certain host of this program said. So all in all, the promo was pretty freaking awesome. Tyler, did it remind you of anything else WWE has produced commercial wise? Trying to give you a little hint, Tyler, perhaps. And Tyler is dead, ladies and gentlemen. DJ, you're with us. Is it just me, or did the promo kind of remind... It was reminiscent of something we've seen a few years back?
Yeah, for me, it reminded me of the WWF Attitude commercial that they also did for USA Network. They had various superstars on there, Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker, talking about how we're family-friendly entertainment and that there's no sex, no violence. And meanwhile, the whole time, all that stuff is occurring in the background and somebody gets thrown through the windows of Titan Towers and Vince McMahon is standing there. Get it? I thought that was a funny commercial. I think Nikki mentioned in the group forum on Facebook that this is SportsCenter commercials, kind of harken back to those as well. And like I said in the same group, that, you know, these commercials are all funny. So that's the way you know that it didn't come up through WWE Creative.
Exactly. Because it actually was funny.
But of course, because it wasn't deadly serious, every smark is going to hate it. So, you know.
Well, of course.
And Jim, while you were talking about things in the background, the whole time I was looking for a red stapler and an "Is this good for the company" banner.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes.
Maybe some flair.
Yes, some flair.
Woo.
And TPS reports.
Oh, there you go.
Yay.
Oh, thank you. No. Do I have to do it again? Fine.
Yay.
There you go. You got another pony. All right. Yeah. You get a pony, and you get a pony, and you get a pony, and you get a Volkswagen.
I'll take the Volkswagen.
Farfik Nugent right back at you.
And you get a Lacar.
Oh, gee. He's not just good with obscure computers, cars, too. Oh, well.
I'll die alone. Anyway.
No, I will, and I'm doing so tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's fun, though. Nobody will ever listen to this. No, but that was an awesome commercial. Kind of reminded me also, to a certain extent, of the Get the F Out promos, to a certain extent. But, you know, evoked fond memories, indeed. Fond memories in the not-too-distant past. Let's go to SmackDown, where, whoa, you're only smoking mirrors. Whoa. I still miss that theme. I'm sorry. Cody Rhodes is joining the Money in the Bank fray, as is Dolph Ziggler. Rhodes took care of Christian, who was already in the match, had nothing to gain, nothing to lose. Ziggler laid an A-bomb on A-Rod. Oh, gosh. But take a look at this on paper, boys and girls. Girls who are listening in, of course. You've got Damian Sandow, Tyson Kidd, Christian Santino, Tensai, Cody Rhodes, and Dolph Ziggler, as of now, in the SmackDown / World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match. Does it seem pretty enticing to you, Brian?
It does, for this reason. It seems like SmackDown is trying to use Money in the Bank to build the next crop of superstars to show you these are the guys who are going to lead us to the promised land. They're going to lead us to the next level. And this is, I think, is a legitimate thing for these guys. Is if the Fed is saying to these guys, okay, we're showcasing all of you in one of the biggest matches on our pay per view. Show us what you can do in that ring.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be their top match. So I think we're going to get an amazing matchup. As a fan, I'm thinking, okay, see, the Raw match is, you know, not as good because it's limited to only former champions. So, hooray. But this match, but the SmackDown match, it's got me, it has got me intrigued.
It seems intriguing to me, DJ. Does it seem intriguing to you?
Yeah, it does. And for the same reasons that it's intriguing for Brian, another caveat I'd like to throw in there is that each person in this SmackDown Money in the Bank match has a purpose. You have Tyson Kidd in the mold of Evan Bourne to give the high spot off the ladder. You have Lord Tenzai as the quote-unquote big guy who's going to be in there. You have Christian, who's the old hand, the great worker. You have Santino, who's there for comedy. You have Dolph Ziggler there, who bumps like a champ. So there's a lot of guys in that Money in the Bank ladder match that can really provide a lot of different thematic elements as you move throughout the match. So I'm excited for the reasons that Brian mentioned, because it could elevate somebody like a Dolph Ziggler, like a Cody Rhodes, and for the same reason that each guy in that match can give you a little something and make that match a little more interesting than it would be on the Raw side.
Yeah, and the Raw side is... well, you know what? When I think of the personalities on the Raw side, Money in the Bank, I think of the following.
Bullshit.
I'm sorry, John Cena. It's going to be Super Cena time. I hate to say that already, but come on. Da, 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 da. One other interesting thing from SmackDown. SmackDown next week will not truly be Zack Down. It'll be Zack Down. Through hell, fire, and brimstone, Zack Ryder defeated Kane to win the 20-man over-the-top rope battle royale on Super SmackDown Live, the Great American Bash that really isn't the Great American Bash or the Bash. And his reward for winning, he will be, for one night only, the general manager, Friday Night SmackDown. DJ, you down with this?
I am down with it. I'll be more down with it if we see the debut of the Big O on SmackDown. I think that would be cool. And maybe just for the fact that Zach's dad's favorite superstar is John Morrison, maybe Zach then, to get his revenge, will book his dad against Ryback. I'd really like to see that. I think that would be interesting.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome.
I'm in Miami, bitch.
Yes. But here's the thing. Zach's dad is ripped. Yeah, he'd still lose to Ryback. I gotta say. Tyler, Zack Ryder as the general manager of SmackDown next Friday. You down with it?
Yeah, definitely down with it. You know, Zack's been having a little bit of a rough go of it. And so maybe this is their way of saying, hey, you know, we know you're still there. We know you're still going. And, you know, you won the Battle Royal, and or we gave you the opportunity to win the Battle Royal, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And, you know, maybe Zach will get his revenge on the Hoski.
Oh. We can't say that. We don't want to call her that. No.
It's the Hoski of the week. Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly. Now, Brian, who is a broski through and through to me, you've got to be enjoying this, the concept of Friday Night Zach Down.
This is going to be awesome. This is going to be really, really fun. And here's the reason why it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Zack Ryder was one of my inspirational wrestlers of last year because he has overcome so much crap and he's gotten over. And he is over. I think this is their way of rewarding him for doing the job and money and the Money in the Bank qualifier. So he'll be in charge of SmackDown this month. This is going to be cool. In my opinion, I think we're going to see all. I mean, it's going to be essentially a 2-hour edition of a Z True Long Island Story, and it's going to be good.
Okay, if it's going to be a 2-hour edition of Z True Long Island Story, I have to piggyback on DJ here. First of all, the Big O has to be there. That would be, I will mark out if the Big O shows up. And second of all, we got to have Scott Stanford there too. I doubt that'll happen with his other obligations, but come on. 4-time Emmy winning WWE Superstars announcing and game show Know Your Bro hosting Scott Stanford for the win. And Jason, if you're listening, get him on the show! Anyway.
And hey, want to bring in Mr. Belding?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Hey, what is going on? Maybe he can sing some karaoke. That'd be great. I'm all about the karaoke.
Although, here is today's trivia of the day.
Okay.
That's not how you actually pronounce the word.
Karaoke.
No, it's karaoke.
Domo arigato, henegar roboto. Konnichiwa. Hi. Brian Henegar, the NAWC's answer to Sakamoto. Just not
to... Ayado! Skatatai!
Doi, as they say on those Sumo Digest episodes on ESPN The Ocho. There you go. But a bigger question, though, because I want to see Zack Ryder get pushed as much as, well, every internet fan, seemingly. Is this the potential beginning of another mini push or push for Ryder, do you think, DJ? Or is this a one-off kind of thing? Do we have you there, DJ? Apparently we do not. Let's go back to Brian on this. Do you see a potential Ryder push in the future building off of this?
If it goes well and if they get a good reaction, absolutely. I mean, this is an acid test to see if the fans still care about Zack Ryder. If this whole thing works, I really think it's going to lead to Zack maybe getting into a legitimate title picture again.
Maybe an IC or a U.S. title run again. Tyler, what do you think?
I think that it's going to be enough of something to get him going and keep him thinking that the E has his back. But I think it's going to still go back to what he's still doing the Superstars. And then he goes into another period of, you know, no shows on Raw. And he ends up going on SmackDown or he's on Superstars. I think just something to kind of keep him with the company, to keep him from getting discouraged. But after a while, it'll still be same old stuff, different day, unfortunately.
It's a conundrum and a half. I mean, I want to see him get TV time because I think he's busted his hump to do it. He's gone against the grain to do it. And, I mean, they initially rewarded him with the little U.S. title run almost a year ago, seemingly now, for that. But by the same token, I can see him going right back down the ladder and being Mr. Dark Match, Mr. WWE Superstars, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Again, it's just... I don't know. By the way, quick aside here. We've talked about this. I think I may have brought it up or somebody might have brought this up on a past show. I don't remember who. But we were joking about who the guest GMs are going to be leading up to Raw 1000. And somebody said... The Adam Lee himself, Mike Adam Lee. Little hint for you, probably not going to happen. It's being reported and I didn't even know this. First of all, backstory, Adam Lee is the lead sports anchor for Chicago's NBC affiliate WMAQ. Well, he's been off the air since the middle of May for quote-unquote personal reasons. He might be coming back to Channel 5 in New York in the next couple of weeks. There have been several rotating anchors filling in for him in his stead. He's been grappling with personal troubles in recent years. It's pretty sad. He lost his home in Evanston, Indiana due to foreclosure, and he was arrested by Evanston police in January of last year and charged with drunk driving after authorities said he disobeyed a flashing red signal and displayed erratic behavior. But the charges were dropped last July when his blood alcohol level was well under the legal limit, and he has, thanks to his playing days, had a condition where he's been prone to seizures and the like. So if you're thinking we're going to see the Adam Lee in the next 2 weeks, I would hedge my bet and say no. So, we wish him well, though, because he's one of the good guys in the business, even if you can't say Jeff Hardy's name.
You're making me crazy!
Yes. And he calls Taz the Taz. So, Adam Lee original. Adam Lee original. I got some numbers for you guys. You like numbers? Hey, kids. Hey, kids. You like the numbers, kids? Well, too bad. I got them. They're in regards to Raw Super Show. The rating this week, a 3.18, so we'll effectively call it a 3.2. And we have a Raw breakdown on the ratings. The opening of the show, we'll just say that is X, okay? When they went to the 8-man tag, X minus 467,000. So, 8-man tags, no good. Interestingly enough, the Del Rio Sin Cara match gained 584,000 back. And that was a Sin Cara squash, and that's something I wonder. Are they building up... Well, let me beg this question as we go to it. Are they building up Del Rio, or is there something we don't know about Sin Cara, do you think, Brian?
Maybe it's a little bit of both. I think the majority is that they want to give Del Rio a feud with somebody who he can actually work with because, you know, Del Rio still has a lot of that lucha style in him. So does Sin Cara. And, you know, they spent so much money to bring Sin Cara to WWE. I think they still want to see if they can get something out of him. So it might be the lead into a feud. I don't know if it is or not, but I don't think this is the last that we've seen here.
Okay, fair enough. We go from the gaining of 584,000. Heyman, in part one of the mixed tag match with everybody's favorite crazy chick, lost 383,000. Slater and Doink gained 234 back. DDP's cameo and the Kane show part of that match lost 69,000. Tensai and Kid, for this big 1-2-3 Kid-esque, if you will, kind of ironic, shocker win, lost 307,000, but the main event gained 684,000 back. So what have we learned, boys and girls? Mixed tags suck. And apparently, mixed tags suck. That's about all I got out of that. SmackDown did a 1-7 on a Tuesday Night Live. They've done better on their Tuesday Night Live shows. I see this as no reason to stop them. Just keep them every couple of months at best. Don't you think, DJ?
Yeah, I agree. The Tuesday Night shows... usually are hit or miss. This one happened to be the day before a major holiday in the States. I thought the show was actually pretty good. But, you know, I think they'd be wise to kind of limit those and make them more special.
I would agree. And there was one very, very special thing about that I didn't even mention about Super SmackDown Live. I didn't know that Natalya could pull off wearing those short of shorts. Shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
Hey, and John Cena lost.
Oh, that too. I was too busy looking at Natalya. I'm sorry. I'm a human. That's all I am.
Me too.
We go from television to buy rates. We finally have a hard number on WrestleMania 28. It was set at 1.3. It was set at 1.2.
Can someone close their window? The draft is hitting their microphone.
DJ's mobilizing, so he's probably, you know, rocking the windows. It's hot in Pittsburgh. Forgive him. It's hot everywhere.
I actually turned my air conditioner off. And my window is up, so...
Yes, sir.
Yes, so if it's... I don't know what it is. If it's me...
No big deal. It's no big deal.
I don't know.
WrestleMania 28 officially coming in at 1.1 million buys. Yay. Extreme Rules got a nice little bump. 20% increase from last year at 250,000 buys, thanks to Brock Lesnar. Over the Limit, down. Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. They got 171,000 worldwide buys, 123,000 from the States. Foreign buys were considerably down, while American buys were considerably up. And of course, the quick math, boys and girls. 171 minus 123 is too much for any one pony to handle. Now, 48,000 foreign buys. That's not... TNA would be lucky if they could get that for a whole year, 48,000 combined. So, I had to go there. So, well, do we make anything out of the numbers there, DJ?
Well, I guess it goes to show that people want to see superstars who are coming back to the company. The Rock and Brock Lesnar obviously generate a big buy rate, still have a lot of drawing power. So, and, you know, it's Survivor Series out of the big four pay-per-views has usually finished fourth. I think now that puts it ahead of the Royal Rumble and SummerSlam for the last four big four pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. It's very conceivable. Let's see here. Oh, we also have ratings for Impact. I'm just going to WrestleChat. They've just updated their stuff at the last second as we record this. Awesome, isn't it? Let's see here. TNA Impact. The okay. Let's play the game. Higher or lower than one for Impact, Brian?
Ever so slightly lower.
Lower, Bob. Okay. Let's go to DJ.
They've been putting on better shows as of late. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Higher.
Higher. Tyler.
I won't give them the benefit of the doubt because it is Impact Wrestling. Lower.
Lower. The actual number of people who... Wait a minute. The actual number of people who watched Impact Wrestling is... Well, you're all wrong. It was exactly a 1.00. Ha ha! I win. That's right. 1.485 million viewers. It was up ever so slightly from the 0.97 they did the week before. Interesting enough, next week... Oh, boy. This is a conundrum. Spike TV is going to be airing a one-hour Impact Rewind show the hour before the live Impact at 7 p.m. Eastern. It is a three-hour block. The three-hour block is not repeated the following Thursday, which returns to a World's Worst Tenants lead-in. And by the way, I'm sorry, if you want a good lead-in, you need to put, and Brian, you're going to back my play, Sheriff John Bunnell and World's Wildest Police Videos.
Hell to the yes.
Yes, sir.
You know, if something was to ever happen to me and I had to go on the run and I was, in a car chase, I would want him to narrate it.
That's right. Lafayette, Tennessee. This would be wrestling contributor.
Jim, it's LaFollette.
LaFollette, Tennessee. I don't know what I'm talking about. This would be wrestling contributor. Thinks he can get away from the law. And I don't mean LAW wrestling. Anyway. Botox has not been kind to the man, though.
And then you hear the guy in the car behind him. He's trying to run away from him. I'm trying to catch up to him here.
My best is that every time the helicopter guy is the same helicopter guy. That's just the best
part. Yeah, because it's the same voice every week.
Exactly. It's like, man, this guy gets action. Yes, sir. But so that's information.
Well, dude's got a helicopter.
Well, yeah. I know. I think it's a guy from KCBS radio or television or something. They just put in a new voiceover over top. But, you know, hey, so it goes. So, yeah, Impact's having a pre-show at 7. When are they going to learn to leave well enough alone? I mean, they're going to be stuck at a 1. I don't see the pre-show really doing anything for them. Tyler, does a 60-minute pre-show do anything for them, do you think?
It might just keep him away from the product, truthfully, because technically then that's 3 hours of Impact Wrestling where, you know, there's change every single week. Hell, there might be change every minute in the show for all we know. Change is coming. Change is here. You know, hell, they might as well just start a bank because all of their talk of change.
Exactly. I have change in my wallet, in other words. Yes. All righty. Let's see. What else do we have to go over? The other little... well, let me see about this. There's another tidbit here, I think. Oh, well, never mind that. That has nothing to do with anything. I'm checking WrestleChat last second. They seem to update right at the 11th hour, seemingly, as we record these shows. Alrighty. The only other bit of news I had that was kind of interesting, perhaps, is that Dolph Ziggler's little brother, poor little brother, is apparently going to try out with WWE. Oh, you may be saying to yourself, great, we have another wrestler in the works. No. If I'm not mistaken, he is trying out the younger brother of Dolph Ziggler. His name is Briley Pierce. He is being tried out in WWE developmental as a TV interviewer. Yeah. So, Scott Stanford, your job's not safe. Apparently, neither is Matt Stryker's. I just thought that was interesting. I have no comment on it. Anybody want to say anything? Because I got nothing.
Why? Because I am so damn sick of being so damn sick.
I know you are.
Marks.
Show off. Indeed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Briley Pierce the FCW interviewer long start? Didn't he start that job long ago?
Let me check. Let me check. Ryan.
Because Newman. I remember seeing video of Claudio Castagnoli's debut in FCW as Antonio Cesaro coming out for the Dean Malenko music, and his interview with that segment was one Briley Pierce.
According to Wikipedia, and they're never wrong, Ryan has appeared recently as occasionally appeared on NXT as an interviewer, interviewing Seth Rollins, Bo Dallas, among others. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. So there you go. How about that? And he does have some wrestling chops. He was signed by the E back in 2011 with FCW. And back in February, he suffered a leg injury and had to relinquish the titles that he had. And there you go. So there you are. As we often do at the end of these programs, I like to, and we like to here on the CLW83 Network, allow our panelists and producer du jour to plug whatever they want to plug. We will start with the chief high muckety muck, the man for whom Hollywood BS Hulk Hogan is a no good MFer, Carl Chenier. Carl, anything you want to mention on the network? No, let's move on. Jeez. Carl, are you with us? And Carl is dead. Okay. We'll come back to Carl. We'll get him some CPR. Brian, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Anything you'd like to plug?
I would go to botchamania.com. They've got some new videos. CZW Amania 2008, which is always good for a chuckle.
The one from 2006 features my Facebook buddy, the one-time voice, Eric Gargiulo, getting the business. So that's fun.
But also, want to plug my show every Saturday or thereabouts, Pixel Nation, our video game show with Jason Block. If you're not already listening to this program, you got a lot of nerve, mister. Mm-hmm. And it's always a great time when I get to come on here, and that's all I really wanted to say.
All right, sounds good. I think we have Carl now. Carl?
Tacos.
Thank you. Would you like to plug some upcoming programming here on the CLW83 Network and CLW83.com on the interwebs?
Didn't y'all pretty much just take care of it?
You don't listen to the broadcast, do you? No. Brian, just plug Pixel Nation, that's all.
Oh, you do have Touch 'Em All coming this week.
Yes, sir. I could have handled that, but I meant the other stuff.
Oh, can I ask you a quick question about Touch 'Em All?
Yes, Brian.
Will Hawk Harrelson be a part of this week's episode?
I don't know, unless he says something crazy this weekend. Probably not, because I'll explain it in a moment, but go ahead, Carl.
Let's see. Besides Touch 'Em All, we have... Oh, okay, yes. I got my copy to me here. Starting next week, One of these shows we called affiliates for over a year will become a CLWA3.com exclusive.
Yes, sir.
The Russell Crabb Sports Digest.
Yes, indeed. BRM hosts that. He told BTR to shove it up their ugly asses.
Mm-hmm. Just stay tuned for the on the Facebook page. We don't know when we're going to do it, when it's going to be up, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
Derpy.
Well said. And number Wang right back at you, producer. Tyler, anything you'd like to promote for the multitudes?
Well, nothing more than the usual weekly mini episodes of the Webmaster's Corner. Still not sure when it's going to go into full-on mode. It's right now, more or less, I'm staying with the mini episodes until I get settled into school, or if at this point it's whether or not they'll approve my financial aid, and if that doesn't go down, then we might start going into full episodes. It's all just depending on the future right now.
Understood, man. Understood. Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming aboard, I should say, this week. To DJ, anything aside from your beloved first place Pittsburgh Pirates you'd like to plug?
Yes, I'd like to plug my Twitter feed. I do need to get some followers. So it's at, all one word, CM Punk. I'm at about a million followers now, so don't be shy. Follow me, and I will lead you to freedom. Thank you.
There you go. Well played, sir. Well played. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, fans, my Twitter handle is Jepmasta, Jepmasta. Follow me, why don't you?
Yes, indeed. Because he likes Jep. No, not Jeopardy. Jep. Wait for it. Bob Bergen. No. I'm kidding. Sure. Inside joke. Nobody gets it. Good. Touch them all. It'll be a special half edition of the show, because we're at the midpoint of the baseball season. By the time the show airs, the second half will have just begun. We'll recap the first half of the Major League Baseball season, the hits and misses of the season so far, and here's a little hint. My team is a miss. A bad miss. You want to avoid them at all costs. For the bullpen and their injuries and their holiday and her. Anyway,
Hey, Jim, you're not bitter, are you?
No, me bitter? No.
We're going to start with the injuries.
By the way, Jim, thanks for Jason Grilly.
Sure, you're welcome. I'm calling it, the Pirates will be 80-82. 80-82.
I will have a heart attack.
Now, I won't laugh about that, but I'll just laugh about the fact that they'll still be below 500 at the end of the season. I'm sorry.
This is the year. This is the year, baby.
You know what? I seriously hope it is for Pittsburgh, because it's been 20 years since they've been relevant. I want them to be relevant again. Just not at the expense of my team. But there you go. All righty. That's about all the damage we can do for this night. I thank Brian Henniger, Tyler Brown, DJ Peckins, Carl Chenier in the box, producing this as ably as ever. And again, thanks to Nikki Heyman for giving me the opportunity to fill in, and to Jason Block for helping me with some prep. Behind the scenes, and what have you. Join us in same time slot. I'm just turning into Tom Snyder. It's Mr. Malaprop time. Join us next week on the NAWC, presented by WrestleChat.net. I will slowly enunciate that my name is Jim Williams. Until next time, please remember, help control the pet population. Please do not buy
baby oil.
Good night, everybody.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.